And welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, August 17, 2020. The Anglican Church in South Sudan fires the Bishop of Bor Diocese.
After 9 months of prayers and other approaches of helping him failed, we do hereby issue this standing order defrocking you, Ruben Akurdit, from the episcopacy.
And Egyptians and Sudanese discuss the Blue Nile crisis.
We are committed to offer all sorts of possible support to our brothers in Sudan in many sectors during this crucial time as part of our solidarity to serve the Sudanese people.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Archbishop of the Internal Province of Jonglei in the Episcopal Church of South Sudan has rejected a decision by the Episcopal Church of South Sudan to dismiss him from the Diocese of Bor. The primate of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan dismissed Bishop Akurdit last week for allegedly dividing Christians. Mayang David Mayang reports for VOA from Juba.
The row between Archbishop Akurdit and Primate Badi started late last year when Akurdit created 3 more dioceses in Jonglei Internal Province and consecrated 3 bishops without prior approval from Badi, who also served as the Archbishop of the Metropolitan Diocese of Juba. Badi responded by suspending Akurdit and withdrawing his ecclesiastical powers, a move Akurdit rejected. In a televised address last Friday, Archbishop Badi dismissed Akurdit from his duties as Archbishop.
After 9 months of prayers and other approaches of helping him failed, we do hereby issue this standing order defrocking you, Ruben Akurdit, from the episcopacy and declaring the Diocese of Bor vacant.
But he says a provincial tribunal constituted in accordance with the Article 55, Subsection 4 of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan Constitution 2016 found Archbishop Ruben Akurdit guilty of canonical disobedience and dividing Christians. Therefore, he was dismissed, says Badi. 2 days after the televised announcement, Akurdit, surrounded by some of his supporters in Bor, held a news conference to announce he was rejecting his dismissal. Akurdit supporters sang a hymn with the lyrics, "It is power, it is power. God give us power to defeat evil deeds." When musicians stopped blowing their trumpets, a visibly emotional Akurdit denied all charges leveled against him and declared the primate's order null and void.
I want to know the location where the tribunal took place. I want to know the date of the month where the tribunal was done. The 2 archbishops who came to Bor on the 7th August 2020, Archbishop Alfayo Manyang and Archbishop Samuel Enosa Fene, they did not tell us the reason they came. This article you have based, my description is baseless, because I have never been tried and found guilty.
Akurdit then declared Jonglei an autonomous internal province of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan. Asked where and to whom he would report to, Akurdit said, "Jesus Christ."
Where to report is not an issue in faith. We report to Christ and we report to God. We are now 10 months alone. We have not missed anything. So we will remediate until when Badi leaves the office.
Some bishops and Christian faithful within the Jonglei Episcopal Church say they are concerned about the direction the row is taking. Bishop Moses Anur Ayom of Asoj Diocese is one of them.
We know it's a confusion. There will be a confusion. Now what I know, there will be some people who are standing with the primate and some people who are standing with Archbishop Akurdit. That alone is a confusion. It will cause a disagreement. We know that. And that is why I say now we will see exactly as a bishop from ECS to see who is right and how they come together.
Aside from the three dioceses Akurdit created, the Jonglei Internal Province has 10 dioceses. 8 of those 10 dioceses said they would not support Akurdit's fight against the leadership of the Anglican Church. Normally, when a bishop is dismissed or the position falls vacant for some reasons, the Constitution of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan says a congregation should nominate someone among the pastors to act as bishop before an election to fulfill the vacancy. Mayane Makir, legal advisor to the Jonglei Internal Province of the Episcopal Church, says it is unlikely Akurdit will be replaced soon.
The issues now is not just between high bishop and primate. I believe the spiritual leader or anyone who decides by himself to be appointed with a certain group, the dispute and the confusion will be still proceeding.
Gabriel Manyang, press secretary for the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, says Primate Badi prefers not to respond to Hajj Bishop's Akurdit announcement declaring Jonglei an autonomous internal province of the church. It is not clear if Badi will undertake additional steps to remove Akurdit as Hajj Bishop. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayor, in Juba.
Still on religious matters, religious leaders from Cameroon's English-speaking region will gather this Wednesday in Douala to discuss violence in parts of Cameroon. The conference comes on the heel of a brutal killing of a young woman seen in a video that has gone viral on social media. The young woman is seen in the video with her hands tied behind her back and being beaten by several young men, who then slit her throat with a machete and dumped her body in the middle of the road. The Cameroonian military and the separatists have not claimed responsibility for the killing. Right Reverend Funky Samuel Foba, moderator of the Presbyterian Church, says Wednesday's conference will condemn in strong terms the killings of innocent southern Cameroonians.
We'll be speaking from a religious perspective and on a religious platform, using our religious authority to speak to the consciences of those concerned, to recognize human life as a gift from God. And we hope that the outcome of our meeting will touch the consciences of those concerned.
How much influence do you think that the church or any group from the region have on the level of violence that is going on?
We do not count very much on our influence. We count very much on our consciences that are supposed to speak out against anything that has to do with human life and to be the voice of the voiceless. Those that have the ears will hear us, and we do not care whether we create an impact or not, because it is our religious obligation to do just what we'll do on Wednesday.
I am sure you have seen the video of this young woman who was brutally killed. We spoke with the Ambazonia spokesperson, Chris Anu, told us that the so-called interim government was investigating the circumstances of the killing of this young woman. What do you all know in terms of who carried out this killing?
I do not care to know who carried out the killings. My interest is that human life has been violated. A young lady, harmless and armless, has been brutalized to death, and that is my preoccupation. And so whoever it is that has done it, we are very sure that our meeting will speak to those consciences, because it is a deplorable act that any normal human being should not carry out.
Of course, when you speak to the separatists, they say that their movement is about bringing independence to the Anglophone region. How do people on the ground see this movement?
I think the whole concept of the movement has been defeated, because now the target is the common man on the street. I think as a religious leader, my concern is with the human life and the well-being of the common man on the street. if you evaluate the situation in which people are going through, those in the bushes, those displaced from their comfort zones, those in refugee camps in Nigeria, I wonder whether that is the kind of rulership they would want to give their own people, whether that is the kind of life they want to give their people.
That's Reverend Funky Samuel Foba, the moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon. He was speaking with my colleague James Batty from the southwest capital of Boya. Officials from Sudan and Egypt say negotiations to end the row with Ethiopia over its dam on the Blue Nile is very important. Egyptian Prime Minister and his Sudanese counterpart met in Khartoum over the weekend and expressed their support to the African Union-led negotiations over the Ethiopian dam. The two officials say the two countries will cooperate in the field of infrastructure, health, education, and trade, among others. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
The Egyptian delegation headed by Prime Minister Madbouly arrived in Khartoum Saturday with a goal of improving cooperation between the two neighboring countries amid rising tensions over the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. At a joint news conference Saturday, the two leaders say Cairo and Khartoum agreed to share water resources and irrigation, extend electricity distribution, and increase trade between the two nations. The two leaders also said they would initiate projects to foster economic growth in both countries. Al-Madbouly says Egypt is committed to supporting the Sudanese transitional government and help it achieve lasting peace and economic prosperity.
We are committed to offer all sorts of possible support to our brothers in Sudan in many sectors during this crucial time as part of our solidarity to serve the Sudanese people. We are ready to offer support to the flood-affected families, health sectors, and other developmental sectors such as electricity and water resources and irrigation.
Sudan, Egypt, and Ethiopia have agreed to present draft proposals over the management of Addis Ababa's giant Nile hydroelectric dam within 2 days, according to Sudanese officials from the Ministry of Irrigation and Water Resources. In a statement released yesterday, the ministry said, after lengthy discussions, the attendees decided to resume negotiations on Tuesday to work on unifying the text of the agreement submitted by the three countries. Sudan Information Minister Faisal Muhammad Saleh said Saturday that Sudan and Egypt are in agreement that negotiating with Ethiopia is the only way to resolve disputes over the dam. Speaking in Arabic, Saleh said it would be wrong for Ethiopia to make decisions on how to operate the Nile River dam without consulting Sudan and Egypt.
The two sides warn against any unilateral procedures before reaching an agreed document among the three countries in regard to Nile water. The two sides also reiterated their commitment to the negotiation as the only means in achieving the interests of the people in this region, and they are confident towards success of the current intervention of the African Union in the talks.
Saleh says the two leaders outlined principles which could help during the African Union-sponsored talks.
They had agreed on principles of a just usage of the Nile without causing any damage on any side based on the related international law. The two sides also reiterated the importance of agreeing on an effective and binding dispute settlement mechanism and coordination mechanism between the three countries to ensure safety for the operation of all water installations and projects that might be affected by the dam.
Acting Sudanese Foreign Minister Ambassador Omar Gamaradin told the Sudan News Agency in Arabic Sunday that the upcoming meeting will focus on presenting a draft agreement by all three countries on operation of the $4 billion dam.
We are expecting consultants from the African Union to help the three countries in drafting the agreement.
Egypt and Sudan view the dam as a threat to their vital water supplies, while Ethiopia considers the dam crucial to its plan of economic development. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, activists in South Sudan use drama to create awareness. find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
can you share an inspirational quote and where you heard it from?
Heavy rains are a reminder of challenges in life. Never ask for a lighter rain. Just pray for better umbrella. I just came across it while I was reading something on social media.
This quote I just added from church. The father was like, "For those who seek, always find. And so fight endlessly for what you want for the future."
Friends are like buttons on the lift. They either bring you down or take you up. I heard it while I was in secondary school and it stuck since then.
وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah will have solution to whatever problems. It is from the Holy Quran.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. A non-governmental organization in South Sudan is using radio drama to teach the public about the negative impact of child marriages and help end the practice. An official with the UN Children's Agency says about half of married South Sudanese women were wedded before they reached 18. For VOA News, Ding Magot reports from Juba.
In today's episode, we are talking about child marriage.
Sweeters have started approaching me for a hand in marriage.
What are you talking about?
In this episode of the drama, a husband tells his wife he wants to marry off their 15-year-old daughter, Susan, and that he already found a suitable suitor for her. Susan runs to her uncle for help, but the uncle also wants a share of the dowry and asks her to go home. The series is produced by Amalna, a South Sudanese cultural organization working in partnership with UN Children's Agency, UNICEF. Luate Joseph John is the executive director of Amalna South Sudan. He says the drama series are targeting specific groups in South Sudan.
Our target audience are the caregivers. So we are talking about parents, we are talking about uncles and of the children, of the girls. And then also the community leaders. So we are talking about the chiefs, we are talking about other community leaders that play a role within the community. And then also we are targeting the children because, you know, some of the child marriage issues not necessarily being done, not being forced.
John says the series encourages the community to take action by portraying the negative aspects of child marriages.
If you're forcing a child to get married, there is a way the child gets like stressed and the child decided to go away. Their children gets to maybe hang themselves. So begin to take a decision that is not, that's not good for the community or for the family.
The producers of the drama Gulala, which means say no no in Arabic, says the drama also addresses gender inequalities in communities of South Sudan. UNICEF's program manager for gender, Alexandra Vidoyevich, says 9% of South Sudan girls were married before they turned 15. Vidoyevich says child marriages contribute to the country's high mortality rate.
We hope that these dramas, after they will be aired in most of the radios, and they will be aired at this stage only in English and Arabic, that we will be able to steer a dialogue on gender inequalities and patriarchal values in South Sudan, which actually perpetuate child marriages and limit girls' opportunities for reaching their full potential in life.
Vidoyevich says South Sudanese officials should enforce existing laws on the minimum legal age of marriage and strengthen girls' rights in order to prevent child marriage and prevent gender-based violence. Marielle Makur Akech, a teacher and a catechist at Holy Cross Parish in Yirol, says the dramas teach people how to respect others. He urged the producers to perform the dramas in different languages.
It is teaching people how to behave, how to respect, how to be educated also. Because it is teaching people on many ways, not on only girl-child education or post-marriage or early marriage. It is teaching people also to behave well. Because like attacking people on the way, raping people, revenge killing, tribalism, it is what the community radio is teaching people. It is teaching people to be in peace, not to kill one another.
The first five episodes are being broadcasted in English and Arabic on the 35 stations in Juba, Awil, Bentiu, Bor, Malakal, Torit, Wau, and other parts of the country. For VOA News, I am Ding Magot in Juba.
Hundreds of Cameroonians Sunday braved heavy military presence and separatist threats to protest increasing violence and barbarism in the Central African state's restive English-speaking regions. The protest in the southwestern town of Mojoka was provoked by the killing of civilians and other brutality allegedly by the military, which is searching for separatists. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
About 300 people, most of them women and children, marched silently on the streets of Cameroon's southwestern town of Mojoka Sunday. 29-year-old Ernestine Naya says Cameroon's Women Peace Movement, which she represents in Mojoka, and four other organizations organized the protests because they are fed up with growing violence in Cameroon's English-speaking northwest and southwest regions.
I am out here today to say no to violence, to decry the killings of innocent civilians and especially women. Our cry today is for the leaders of the nation to do something about the crisis in the north and southwest regions. We all deserve to live in peace in this glorious land God has given us.
Naya said the groups organized the anti-violence protest in Mojoka because it is in the southwestern town that the latest gruesome case of murder was reported. On August 11, Comfort Tumasang, a 32-year-old mother of two, was gruesomely murdered in Mojoka. A video of her beheading went viral on social media, provoking widespread condemnation. Comfort's mother, 63-year-old Mary Tumasang, says separatists accused her daughter of collaborating with the military as an informant. She says she supports the protest because she wants peace to return to Cameroon. She says she wants her daughter's killers arrested.
They hide their collars. They don't bring collars. They hide their collars. Say, give me your phone.
She says when separatists came to her home, her frightened daughter, Comfort, did not hesitate to hand over her telephone as the fighters requested. She says 30 minutes later, she watched helplessly as Comfort was forced out of the house to a neighborhood called Sansand. She says in Sansand, the fighters tied Comfort to a tree, but residents raised an alarm and the fighters fled, taking her daughter along. Comfort Tumasang was later found dead in a pool of her own blood. 13 other cases of gruesome killing were reported in Cameroon's two English-speaking regions. Emmanuel Ledu Engamba, highest administrative officer in Mojoka's Fakot Division, says the military has been deployed to restore peace. He says the troops have been instructed to arrest Tumasang's killers.
These criminals are going to be prosecuted, and action has been undertaken to make sure that they are tracked down. I extend the condolence message of the head of state to the bereaved family of late Tumasang, who was brutally assassinated by criminals.
The separatists say the military organizes some of the attacks on civilians to to give fighters a bad name. The military says separatists have resorted to attacking civilians because their fighters' ability to attack has been greatly reduced by government troops. The Cameroonian government, rights groups and embassies also blame separatist fighters for the increasing brutality and gruesome killing of civilians and aid workers. Civilians say the military brutalizes populations as troops search for separatists suspected to have been responsible for the killings. The military insists that its troops have remained professional. The United Nations reports that Cameroon's four-year separatist crisis has killed over 3,000 and displaced at least 500,000 others. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Lokole by Colonel Mido.
Mashaki la tajozo, la kabata biga fogo ketire, gebelia. Ye akwana ye, ana marfu maluna si abahana sede. Ana marfu maluna si abahana sede.
Sata waze mimi bini ya de giafa bide uruze katika bini ya de giafa kulu hajaru kubafuata bini ya de giafa mabainu enata mama mabainu enata mama analiko bini ya tabele tanina mama e analiko bini ya tabele tanina mama.
We've been listening to Colonel Mido with the song Lokole. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for making us part of your evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers, because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Mama,
zuzoloe
ali wasire
umona zuzoloe
ina famani bendola
umona zuzoloe
bamule disina robi
midoe